Welcome to your daily briefing from Seoul. Right now, the most valuable asset in Korean entertainment, it isn't necessarily the shiny new K-pop track dropping tonight.
Right, definitely not.
It might actually be like a 10-year-old drama playing in the background of your living room.
Or even a hidden contract that could cost an agency, $21 million.
Exactly. So today we are taking a deep dive into how attention is monetized in this industry. We're mapping the whole life cycle from the really intense strategy of a new launch to hoarding viewers with legacy content to those massive legal landmines of selling artist intellectual property.
Because the entire ecosystem relies on, moving fans from that initial spike of excitement into this long-term, highly lucrative holding pattern.
Right. And let's actually start by looking at that initial spike. So Red Velvet is back.
Finally.
Yeah, for the first time in over 2 years, they've got their new mini album, Velvet Summer, releasing on August 3rd, 2026. And the lead track is called Surfin' Boy.
Such a good summer title.
It really is. But what stands out to me here isn't just the music, it's the coordinated blitz happening in the exact 1 hour window before the album actually
Oh,
drops.
the countdown live.
Yeah, the 5 p.m. countdown live stream leading right up to the 6 p.m. Korea standard time release. I mean, they are blanketing YouTube, Weverse, TikTok, all simultaneously. It's an insane amount of marketing packed into 60 minutes.
It is, but it's not actually about the marketing volume. It's really about synchronization.
What do you mean by that?
Well, think about it. For 2 years, since their June 2024 EP, Cosmic, this fan base's attention has been totally fragmented.
Oh, right, because of all the solo projects.
Exactly. You've had the five members doing independent acting gigs, solo music careers, all of that. So getting everyone back together, it's almost like getting the Avengers back together after everyone did their own solo movies.
That is a perfect way to put it, yeah.
So that 1 hour countdown, it basically acts as a funnel. It's this highly calculated move to pull all that scattered global attention back together.
Just yanking everyone back into the same room.
Right, and to instantly synchronize it
Yeah.
the very second the album hits the platforms.
Yeah.
Because to overcome the algorithms today, you need a massive unified surge of traffic, a gradual trickle, it doesn't work
Just kind of
anymore.
gets buried.
Exactly.
But okay, that surge inevitably cools off, right? The comeback weekends. And this is where the strategy pivots. The fight to hold on to that attention turns older legacy content into absolute gold.
Library gold, yeah.
Right. So streaming platforms Wave and Televing, who, by the way, are currently moving toward a merger, they are leaning so hard into
Do you have
fetch.
free ad-supported streaming TV?
Exactly. Wave just made 133 out of their 152 live channels entirely free. They are streaming these huge hit TVN dramas like Guardian, Hotel de Luna, My Mister, just around the clock.
And Tweving is doing the exact same thing, but with classic variety shows like Infinite Challenge.
It's wild to me. It's like turning this modern on-demand app into a classic 90s TV set that you just, leave running in the background while you fold laundry or whatever.
That's exactly the vibe they're going for.
But I have to push back on this a little bit. If I can open an app and watch 133 channels of premium Korean content for free, doesn't that completely destroy the incentive to buy a paid subscription?
I mean, it seems super counterintuitive, right? Like you're giving away the product, but it is purely about trapping user attention.
Trapping it how?
So, say you finish a paid series on Wave. The platform does not want you wandering off to YouTube or Netflix while you spend like 20 minutes deciding what to watch next.
Ah, the endless scrolling.
Right. These 24/7 free channels, they keep you inside their local ecosystem, even when you aren't actively choosing a new title. And I mean, the data shows that it absolutely works.
Really?
Yeah, Wave is now averaging 464 monthly watch minutes per user,
Wow.
which is seriously closing the gap on Netflix, who's at 564 minutes.
That is a lot of watch time. But okay, that strategy of hoarding user attention with old IP, it only works if you actually own that IP free and clear.
Right, and that is the big catch.
Because right now, the rush to cash in on these legacy assets is creating massive financial and legal exposure. We're seeing this play out in real time with the co-CEO of 100 Label,
I'll go on. Right.
right, who was just detained by the Seoul Central District Court.
It's a huge deal. Prosecutors are alleging a $21 million fraud regarding an artist's IP business venture with a tech company called Nomerse.
$21 million. That's wow.
Yeah, and the claim is that Cha allegedly received a $16.9 million advance, but then failed to execute the project, and here's the kicker, hid an existing conflicting contract with another company.
So wait, just to clarify, Cha denies all of this, right?
Yes, Cha absolutely denies all the allegations. But just looking at the mechanism of the claim, it's wild.
It really sounds like selling someone a piece of real estate, getting a massive down payment, but hiding the fact that there's already a massive lien on the property.
That is the perfect way to visualize it. But, you know, unlike a building where you can just pull a public deed and check, artist IP is highly intangible.
Right, it's not a physical thing you can just inspect.
Exactly. It involves overlapping exclusive rights, name licensing, specific performance clauses. If even one hidden conflicting contract exists, you don't actually own the asset you're trying to monetize.
Which just evaporates that entire multi-million dollar advance.
Poof, it's gone. And the court actually issued the detention warrant, citing concerns about evidence destruction, which really just highlights how difficult it is to verify these deals in the first place. You need rigorous due diligence.
So just wrapping all this up for you listening, watching this industry evolve, Korean entertainment is really moving on three distinct tracks right now.
Yeah, you've got veteran K-pop groups strategically returning to full group schedules to spike that initial attention.
Right, and then platforms turning older drama libraries into daily viewing habits to trap that attention.
And finally, agencies facing incredibly strict legal scrutiny when they try to sell those underlying IP rights.
Because the life cycle of entertainment, it clearly doesn't end after release week.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah.
The long tail of IP is where the real business happens.
Which leaves you with this thought to sort of mull over as we go. If older dramas are becoming these 24-hour channels and established artist IP commands multi-million dollar advances, will the future of K-entertainment be more about monetizing the past than creating the present?